G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
All right, if you have your Bibles, I want you to have a look at Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 16 verse 32. Give me an oi when you're there. Proverbs 16 verse 32. Hallelujah. I'm not hearing any oys. What's going on? Well, we're all getting religious, are we? Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. So, Proverbs 16:32 says, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes the city." I'm going to be talking about managing your moods. Managing your moods. Are you listening, Joel? You know, we all have moods, eh? So don't lie. There are times we are tempted to get angry, times we are tempted to get depressed, to feel envy, be cranky. There are times that we are tempted to lack motivation or be pessimistic, feel guilty, annoyed, irritated, stressed. There are times you'll be tempted to feel gloomy and give in to that, to be discouraged. Everybody has moods, and there are times you will experience or be tempted to move into those things, hey? And we can't act as if that doesn't happen to me, because the reality is we have emotions. But God wants us to have victory. He wants us to have victory in every area, and that includes in the area of moods. And this scripture says, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit is greater than he who takes the city." The New Living Translation says, "Better to be patient than powerful. Better to have self-control than to conquer a city." You can be someone who conquers cities, conquers nations, yet if you can't control your emotions, it will take its toll in your life. How do I know that? Think about Napoleon. Think about Alexander the Great. They conquered nations, but they could not control their emotions. Napoleon died in his early 50s. Alexander the Great died at the age of 33. You know, when we have problems with moods, what we're really experiencing is problems in the area of our soul. You understand, you're a spiritual being, you have a soul, you live in a body. Your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. And your moods are affected, they affect your soul, right? And they're largely located in the area of your emotions. Hey, look at Psalm 42. I want to show you how moods can impact us. Well, the Bible talks a lot about our moods and the activity of our soul. It sheds a lot of light. So there's a number of scriptures we can go to, but I think we might just look at this one. Psalm 42 verse 1, give me an oi when you're there. It says, "To the chief musician, a contemplation of the sons of Korah. As the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, 'Where is your God?' When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill of Mizar. There's a lot of things here, and we might sort of refer back to it as we move through this. But you can see here the psalmist is talking about how his soul is downcast, and as a result there's tears that he sheds, and there's discouragement that he's feeling. He feels like people are mocking him when they're saying, well, where is your God? And sometimes our moods can really overwhelm us. Hey? Sometimes our moods can get to such an extent where we're wallowing in that discouragement, or we're wallowing in pessimism. We're just filled with rage or with anger or frustration, and it feels like nothing is working. And that's not God's will is not for you to get to a place where you just constantly feel like you're stumbling. He wants you to live in victory. He wants you to be able to manage your moods. Turn around to the person next to you and say, I can manage my moods. And it's not you in your strength, it's in Christ that you can. And I'm going to share with you seven things that you can be doing to help you manage your moods. Understand, when we talk about moods, we're not necessarily even just talking about negative moods. I gave you lots of examples of negative moods, but there's positive examples of moods as well. You know, you can be cheerful. You can be content. You can be energetic. You can be joyful. You can be optimistic. You can be peaceful. You can be excited. And they're good moods. But you can even go to extremes on some of those things as well, hey. But we can put measures into place to be able to manage our moods. Just understand, it's nothing abnormal if you're being tempted to feel glum. There's nothing abnormal with you if there's times where it's just you're finding it hard to shake off frustration. But there are things that you can do to be able to get on top of these things and begin to manage them. And the first point, if you're a note taker, you can write it down: determine that you're going to manage your moods. You have to make a decision. You've got to make up your mind that you're going to win the war. You know, the great thing about when you make up your mind you're going to win the war, it's not a big deal if you lose the occasional skirmish, because you're looking at the big picture. Some people, they trip over with their moods, they're frustrated, and they've just kind of carried on. You know, some people just like they carry their moods on their sleeves, don't they? You don't need to do anything to know that they're in a mood. It's like there's a storm cloud that's over them and they walk in. I remember early in my marriage with Joy that there would be times that we would have a disagreement and it would be a hot day, but it would be real cold in that lounge room. Never felt like I could just wear a t-shirt. It felt cold. I remember when we were courting, I took her out for tea and we had had a disagreement, and it was one of my favorite restaurants and it served up pasta, one of my favorite dishes, and it was the first time in my memory anyway that I could not enjoy a meal. Like, I'm just like, when it comes to eating, as long as it tastes good and it's got meat, you know, like, and bacon and cheese. And I was like, I couldn't enjoy it because I could feel like things weren't right. Moods can affect the atmosphere, can't they? Some people can wear their moods in such a way, no one needs to guess what's going on. They know. Oh, they're not happy. Eh? They got their cranky pants on today. If you're going to manage your moods, you have to make a decision that you're going to manage your moods, that you're going to win this war. Yeah. And there may be times that you'll trip up. There may be times where it gets the better of you, but that's just one little battle. You've made up your mind, I'm going to win the war. I'm going to win the war. You've got to choose to win, hey, and that involves your will. You know the phrase, I will? I want you to say, I will.
I will.
I will manage my moods. That phrase, I will, that appears 187 times in the Psalms alone. I will call upon the Lord. I will praise him. I will fear no evil. I will bless the Lord. I will be glad and joy. You can choose not to fear. You can choose to rejoice. You can choose to trust in him. But it starts with that decision I'm going to manage my moods. I'm not going to allow them to get the better of me. I'm going to win this war. And once you've made up your mind that you're going to win and you stay focused on that, you're not bothered if from time to time you stumble. You're not worried from time to time if there's a skirmish and you lost that little battle because you know you're going to win the war. You know, if you know you're going to have a tough day or a tough week, make up your mind beforehand. I'm going to win. This might be a really tough week that's coming up. I'm going to win, though. And no one's going to wear the consequences of my bad mood. No one's going to wear the consequences of me going through a tough week. You know, the real sign of maturity is you being able to go through tough things and others have no idea. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't open up and share with people that are close to you. I think that's an important thing. And we'll talk a little bit about that further down the track. But the sign of maturity is when you can have a number of issues going on in your life, but no one else is going to pay for it. See, that's the opposite of immaturity, isn't it? What do you see like a child do? When a child isn't getting their way, they'll spit the dummy, they'll throw a tantrum, they'll make a demand. We're seeing that in increasing numbers at the shopping centres as we get closer to Christmas. This little kid, here's mummy and daddy and they got their shopping trolley and they're going, and here comes little Johnny, following after them, trying to get their attention because he wants to go back there where the little pony was. He wants them to pay a dollar so he can ride the pony or get that toy in the shop. And immaturity means you can't manage what's going on in your life. A person who's mature is like Christ. Jesus never turned around to his disciples when they come up and they said, Lord, and he'd go, whoa, what do you want? I just whipped everybody out of the temple. Now you want some? I'll give you some. Come here. No. You have to make up your mind. You're going to win. And if you know that there's some tough things that are ahead of you, you make up your mind. Just like Jesus did. He set his face like flint. He was going to Jerusalem. He refused to be swayed from that. He went through Samaria and the people were saying, come and stay with us. He said, no, I've got to go. I've got to go to Jerusalem. I've got a divine appointment in Jerusalem. Make up your mind. You're going to manage your moods. You know, there's a professor that spoke to his class at the very start of the year. He said, students, he said, I have a very, very important thing to share with you right now. In fact, this is the most important thing you will hear in this class for the entire year. He had their entire attention. They were silent. And then he yelled out, he said, beginning is halfway. Beginning is halfway. You know, the hardest part of writing an email is starting. The hardest part of making that phone call that you don't want to make is picking up and dialing. Beginning is halfway. You have to make up your mind. You have to make a decision. I'm starting on this course. My moods are not going to rule my life. Some people are just experts at just putting off what they know they need to do. Expert procrastinators, hey? There's going to be times that you're going to trip up in this area. There's going to be times that you will maybe allow your moods to get the better of you. If that happens, get up, dust yourself off, and just say to yourself, I've got victory in this area. This is not getting the better of me. You know, the price of your future is the present. Whatever you desire to happen further down the track, today you've got to sow the seeds that'll grow and begin to harvest so that you can in the future enjoy the harvest of that thing. And really the secret of this is learning the value of consistency. Hey, do what's right and be consistent in doing what's right. You know the difference between successful people and unsuccessful people? Successful people do regularly what unsuccessful people do occasionally. That's the difference. You can get an amazing revelation of who you are in Christ. Revelation will give birth to something, but it's only routine that will sustain it. Unless, if you get revelation of who you are in Christ, unless you routinely allow that to sink into your heart and flow out of your life and impact the way you think, the way you talk, the way you interact with others, it's just going to be an idea that'll live and die. And same with this, you may get a revelation today. I've got to make a decision about this. I have to make a decision that moods are not going to get the better of me. But unless you bring it into routine in your life, where routinely you are focusing on this and you're understanding, I'm in this for the long haul, I'm going to beat this. It'll just live and die. And it'll be just another idea. Make up your mind you're going to be happy. Make up your mind you're going to live in victory. Make up your mind you're going to receive from God. Make up your mind you're going to be a nice person. Turn around to the person next to you and say, I'm a nice person. Point number two, if you want to manage your moods, don't internalize your negative moods. You know, there are some things you need to open up to others about, and I sort of touched on this just earlier, you know. You may be going through some tough things and you don't go publishing that to everyone, but you do need to be able to talk to some people that you trust. The scripture says in James, it says, confess your faults to one another that you may be healed. Notice the end product of confession is healing. Sometimes it's the confession of your faults that brings the healing. How does that work? What happens? Because sometimes there are things that we're doing in our life that is getting the better of us, and it's like the enemy wants to keep us in darkness in that area. I'm not telling anybody. I'll just keep this to myself. It's just between you and me, Jesus. And it's like we're not getting... And sometimes it's bringing that thing out into the light and confessing it to someone and saying, pray with me, believe God with me. I've seen the people that win, the people that struggle with pornography are the people that bring it into the light and they go and they confess it to someone and say, help, I need some help with this. And the moment they bring it into the light, that dark thing just dissipates. It's lost its power. There are some things you need to open up to others about. Hey, you are more powerful than your moods, but don't internalize them. Verbalize them. Some have bouts of depression. Instead of opening up, they bottle it up. And then frustration just begins to just eat at them inside more and more, and it becomes like an infection. You ever had an infection? Sometimes you can get like a cut, and maybe you weren't diligent to wash it out and put some antiseptic on it, and it can get infected. What happens? You'll notice it's really sore, and there's a redness around it. And that redness will begin to increase more and more unless you do something about it. Usually once it starts to spread, you've got to go get some antibiotics to be able to fight that infection. And moods can be like that. If you struggle with it, you may need to open up to someone and talk to someone and say, listen, pray with me, believe with me. I'm going to beat this thing. I'm going to win this thing. But sometimes you may be in a situation where something has just really angered you, and talk to someone that you trust and open up to them. The number of times, I remember that there would be times that I would feel overwhelmed and I would just open up to Joy and I would just share and pour my heart out. And there were many, many times she didn't even have the answer. But I felt tremendously good at the end of it. That someone understood. Someone heard me. Someone was feeling what I was feeling. It's important if you're doing that, you talk about your faults and not others' faults. And if you're going to be practicing that and opening up to people, when I'm saying that, I'm not talking about opening up to everyone on social media. There's some people that just kind of like tell everybody on social media what they're feeling. Do you realize these half-baked psychologists have got no answers for you? In fact, really, the major reason why people do that is they just want attention. But is that what you need? Do you need the attention? Or do you need some answers and some direction? Some people enjoy being miserable or sick because it draws attention from other people. You do not want to be sowing that seed in your life. Talk to someone you trust and open your heart to them. and then God will use them. Even, you know, many times it can be a non-Christian as well that can share stuff with you. It's just wisdom. Number three, to manage your moods, get acquainted with the cycles and seasons of life. There are cycles and seasons in everyone's life. All the women said? There are, and you need to get to know. You need to get to know yourself. There are cycles and seasons in men's lives too. I remember years ago, there was this big craze that was going on. Anybody remember biorhythms? That was a massive thing, biorhythms, and there's all these studies and stuff. Well, the idea behind it is basically there are cycles. There are times where you are physically at a peak to perform. There are times where emotionally you're at a peak to perform. And they're called biorhythms, you know. Like, look, the Australian Institute of Sport understand that. In fact, any athlete that performs at the highest level, they understand this. You got these world-class swimmers, they time their training so that they're peaking just leading up to a major event. There are other times where it's not near the major event and they cannot swim at the level that they can swim. If we're talking about like a swimmer, they cannot swim and get the times that they normally would in those major events because they understand this rhythm. They can't maintain that peak. So they just glow, they understand, and they've got to recognize that there are cycles in their own life, and so they tune it in, and they adjust their training in such a way that when there's an ebb, they'll relax their training. But as they're approaching a major event, they'll amp up the training because they want to be at their peak. Well, you know, get to understand yourself. There are times that you're going to feel a little bit vulnerable emotionally. There are going to be times, and you know, it's just... And it could be like a woman, a certain time of the month, but it just could be a certain time of year. It could be certain memories trigger things for you. Get to understand yourself, because if you study yourself, you will begin to notice these things. And when you begin to recognize your own cycles and your own seasons, you've taken a major step in the war and having victory over the negative moods. You ever notice the boats that are docked in a bay or a harbour, they'll rise and fall with the tide. The owner of the boat isn't saying, oh my goodness, the tide's going down, what are we going to do? It's all right, it'll just go down with it, but it'll come back up. Learn to ride the tides of life. We live in a real world, we all have ups and downs. There will be times where you're not feeling as up, and that's okay. We all have days where we don't feel like doing things. But understand this, put obligation above inclination. Don't be someone who just is always yielding to their inclinations. Well, you know, I just don't feel like doing that, so I'm not going to. There are days. Yesterday, I had a day off. It was the first day off that I'd had in months. I have been very, 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 very intensively committed to a number of things. That creation evolution series that I did was a lot of hours of preparation. That evangelism seminar that I ran was a lot of preparation. The messages that I put together, the series that I do. But yesterday, it's like, I knew in my heart, I'm taking a day off. And there were a thousand things I knew that needed to be done. And I just thought, nah. I'm normally up at 5 and out of bed. I slept in till 6. It was wonderful. But, I mean, you know, that might seem like, well, that's really early. But for me, that's a wonderful sleep in. It's a luxury. And it was really nice. And I just did what I felt like doing. But that is not my norm. I'm not someone who gives in to inclination. I want to put obligation ahead of inclination. And you need to be in the habit of that. Don't just be in the habit of just giving in to whatever you feel like doing. But understand that there are tides in life. You will have moods in life. Don't glorify them. Don't spiritualize them. But just recognize what they are and write them out. Number four, accept responsibility for your moods. Galatians chapter 6 verse 7 says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Whatever you plant, you will harvest. You have to accept responsibility. You are not a victim of life. Things happen, consequences come. You can choose what you want to do, but you can't choose the consequences of your choices. There are natural consequences. People are always looking to blame someone else, aren't they? Not my fault. Not my fault. Harry Truman, the President of the United States, just at the end of the Second World War, he used to have this little saying on his desk, and it said, "The buck stops here." He wanted to remind himself, "I'm responsible. It's not anyone else's fault. I'm responsible. I've got to make decisions." You know, there are no exceptions to this scripture that you will reap what you sow. Whatever you plant, you're going to harvest. It's a spiritual law. If you constantly think angry thoughts, don't be surprised that you're in angry moods. If you plant positive thoughts, you will harvest positive feelings. You will be as happy as you determine you're going to be. That's why we have Thanksgiving Sunday. Because we want to finish this year and plant those seeds of thankfulness and gratefulness, so then it sets the tempo of the new year that we're going to get into. Hey, the way you enter something will create the atmosphere for the next chapter of your life. Number five, use your body to change your moods. You can do things physically that can actually help you change your moods. Hey, your moods are created to a huge extent by the things you do physically. Your body's actions can affect your moods, and your moods can affect your body's actions. Anybody know of it? I don't want you to put your hand up, but I'm sure that every one of you knows people that you can just look at them and go, "Oh, they're in the mood again. They've said nothing, but it's just their countenance, like they're slouched, walking around like this, just like this serious look on their face, walking and tense." And you don't have to know what they're thinking. You can just tell. Well, you know, you can do the reverse of that. If you're feeling glum, pick yourself up. Start to do things, be energetic, and just say, "I've got a lot I can be thankful for. I refuse to allow this to drag me down and spoil my day." You know, when I got a revelation of this was when I was a school chaplain at Runcorn High. And I learnt this phrase and I began to use it, and I love it. I still use it very, very much. When people would come up to me and they would say, "Hey, Les, how you doing?" I'd go, "Mate, I am way above average." And I would say it with that sort of enthusiasm, even if I felt glum. And it was something about just saying that and acting like that that helped pick me up. And I think, that's right, I am. I'm way above average. Now I say it like at Glory Jeans, all the ladies, they know me there that serve me. And they go, "Les, your average is just going up and up and up." Well, I says, "That's right, it is." Don't stoop and slouch around. Straighten your back. Cultivate feelings of happiness by doing something that blesses someone else. Keep active, exercise. Speak over yourself and be energetic when you speak. I often do this in the shower. Sometimes I do it when I'm driving, but most of the times it's in the shower because it hasn't been long since I've woken up. Usually that's the first thing that I'll do is I'll just go hop in the shower and I'll just start speaking over myself. I'll just start saying, "I'm quick, I'm sharp, I have excellent memory recall. Man, I'm good looking, I'm really rich. I'm a major blessing. Man, everything I set my hand to do prospers." And I'm just saying, I'm just telling you what I'm saying. I can remember it because I say it so often. And as I'm saying it, it picks me up. It picks me up. It picks me up. I start speaking of my body is healthy. It's strong. My heart doesn't miss a beat. My lungs are clear. My blood is clean. My liver and my kidneys are free of all disease. These are things I speak over myself. By the time I finish the shower, I'm ready. What am I doing? I'm using my mouth, I'm using my body to change my mood. Because I'm just like you. I don't spring out of bed every day going like, I can hear the voice of angels. Let's praise the Lord, shall we? There's many times I'll get out of bed and just like, oh, turn on the shower. But I'll get in there and I'll start stirring myself up. I want to start speaking over myself and releasing the power of God to work in my life. Number six, reprogram your memory. You know, our moods are often affected by past experiences. Sometimes it's a smell. Sometimes it's a sound, a phrase. And it takes us back to a certain point in our life and triggers feelings as if we're there. Anyone ever been bitten by a dog? If you've ever been bitten by a dog, sometimes that can be like a last. And then the moment you see another dog, those memories seem to come back. It's like, oh, and there's a nervousness that comes because you remember that dog that bit you. And then the pheromones are released and the dog smells the fear. And suddenly that dog has a sense of bravado and it starts barking at you and you're thinking, he's going to bite me. We need to reprogram our memories. Sometimes we have memories that control our moods, just like the memory of a dog that bit someone. You know, your yesterday doesn't have to control your tomorrow. But if you allow it, it can play in your memory over and over and over again, and it can cause you to feel condemned. It can cause you to feel anxious. It can cause you to feel fearful. It can cause the palms of your hands to just sweat. We need to reprogram our memory. You know, God chooses to forget our sins, doesn't he? He could remember them, but he chooses to forget. He says, your sins and your lawless deeds, I will not remember. So why do you want to hold on to them? Why do you want to hold on to that mistake that you made? That silly thing that you said? Why do you keep beating your head? It's like sometimes the devil, he trains us up and beats us so much that he's trained us that we know we need to get a beating. And so he just gives us the club and he goes off on his way and it's like that memory comes and, yep, I did a stupid thing. I said a stupid thing. Bang, bang, I'm such an idiot. I'm such a moron. Stupid. If God has chosen to forget your sin, then it's pride if you choose to hold on to it. It's pride for you to say, God, that what I did was stupid. It was just wrong. It was stupid. And God's saying, I've forgiven you. That's pride. Because you're now questioning his authority because he's saying, I've forgiven you. I remember there was one time where the Lord was saying, I want you to say after me. And he said, say to yourself, you're a nice person. And I struggled. Because I was just so aware of the selfishness in my life. And he said, say it. Les, you're a nice person. I didn't want to say it. Oh, God, I'm not a nice person. I'm so selfish. He said, say it. And I began to say it. Reprogramming my memory. You know, you may need to ask the Lord to cleanse your mind of the roots of certain things. I remember Jim Williams talked about how as a child he would have this reoccurring nightmare. He was on top of a high-rise building and there was this girl and she had high-heeled shoes on. The shoes really weren't... The shoes come in anyway, into his dream. But he saw this girl and when she saw Jim, she backed away and she came to the edge of the building and she fell off the building and he heard her screaming and he could hear her shoes scraping along the wall as she fell. He'd never seen anything like that, but it was something that was in his memory and it was a nightmare. And he would have this recurring dream, just like time after time after time. He would get up in a sweat, his heart just beating, just feeling like, I wish that would stop. How do I get that to stop? You may be in a situation where maybe there's something that just keeps replaying in your mind and it almost like sets a mood in your life. You need to reprogram your memory. Jim finally cried out to the Lord. He said, God, please take this from me. Just take this dream away from me. And God removed it from him. He remembers the dream, but he doesn't have it. Never had it anymore after that day. He's in heaven now, so he definitely doesn't have it. So you can ask the Lord to cleanse your mind of the roots of certain memories. But you can also do things to reprogram your memory. How do you do that? Think God's thoughts. What contains God's thoughts? God's Word. God's Word has God's thoughts. Begin to find some things that address the need in your life. I mean, maybe anger is something that you find yourself falling into a lot. Well, you can start with that scripture in Proverbs 16 that we started with. He who is slow to anger is stronger than the mighty. I'm stronger than the mighty. I'm slow to anger. I'm a patient man. And start speaking that over yourself, reprogramming your memory. You know, the Chinese, back after World War II, gave every citizen of China a little red book. And it was titled The Thoughts of Chairman Mao. And it had little thoughts and sayings. They wanted to indoctrinate the entire nation. Well, we don't have a little red book, but we do have a book, and it's The Thoughts of God. And it's far more powerful than the thoughts of Chairman Mao. You can reprogram your memory by allowing God's thoughts to become dominant in your mind. Do I hear an amen? And my final point, if you want to manage your moods, you need to get on the right track. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 11. It says, we also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. So that you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. Everyone say rescued.
Rescued.
He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us, everyone say transferred, transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom with his blood and forgave our sins. God rescued us from darkness and transferred us into light. If you want to manage your moods, you need to understand that you need to get on the right track. You are no longer a child of darkness. You are no longer living in darkness. You've been transferred out of darkness into the kingdom of light. Yet there's some believers that live as if they're still in darkness. I remember years ago, Victoria and New South Wales, their trains operated on different gauges of railway. I can't remember what it was, but one would have been like 3 foot something and another one was nearly 4 foot or something. The railways, the two rail lines were apart that much, but it was a number of inches, which meant that a Victorian train could not go on New South Wales lines and vice versa. And so anyone travelling from, say, Melbourne to Sydney, when they came to the border, Albury-Wodonga, they would have to get off the train and go and get transferred onto a new train. They had to get off the old track and get it onto a new track, otherwise they couldn't make it to their destination. If you want to manage your moods, you need to get on the right track. Stop operating on the old track. You're no longer a child of darkness. Get on the new track. You're a child of light. You live in light. People might say to you, well, you're just like your mother or just like your father. Well, no, you're not. Not if they're not born again, you're not. Your father may have been an alcoholic. That doesn't mean you have to be an alcoholic. Because you're on the right track now. You're a part of light. Your father may have been a womanizer, but that doesn't mean you have to be. Your mother may have been neurotic, but that doesn't mean you have to be. Your mother may have been without control with her finances and spending as soon as she got it, but you don't have to be like that. If you want to live in a different state of mind, you've got to get on to the new track. You're no longer part of darkness. Stop thinking like darkness. Stop acting like darkness. Stop talking like darkness. And stay on the right track. Christ has delivered us out of darkness. We are new creations. All old things have gone. All things have become new. We're on a new track. Hallelujah. Did you get something out of that this morning?
Yeah, what did you get?
Praise God. Stand up. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Ogas kiveri ceba kastara. Ejeva eskolo bosadra cideri skiva sobro jafala. Hallelujah. I'm going to lead you in a confession of faith, hey, and I want you to, you know, if what I've shared today is stuff that you are in agreement with and that you're determined, yeah, I am going to make a decision. I'm going to stay on top of my moods. Then I want you to make this confession. I want you to repeat after me. In the name of Jesus, with God as my helper, I make a quality decision to not allow my moods to win the war. I will win the war over my moods. I am a man filled with the Spirit. I walk in light. I've been transferred out of darkness. So I refuse to think like darkness. I choose to think like light. I choose to be a blessing. And I choose to manage my moods. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, give God thanks and praise. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen.